Hallelujah, Christ is risen. In the name of Jesus. As a young boy growing up, I want you to know that I was lousy at most competitive sports. Baseball, football, basketball wasn't my thing. Still isn't. With baseball, whenever we would play in my neighborhood in the vacant lot between our house and the neighbors, my buddies in the neighborhood developed a little rule. It was a rule most often applied to me because I was the worst at hitting the ball. We called it a do-over. And whenever I was up to bat, I was always allowed one do-over. Consequently, I was allowed at least six strikes before I was out. And on some days when generosity or pity reigned, I was allowed even more. I had the run on do-overs. As I have thought about that through the years, I have realized that do-overs are really like starting all over with no connection or recollection of what went on before. Do-overs are a new beginning. You do it all again as if right from the first. And that's really the gospel reading for this third Sunday of Easter. It's all about new beginnings and about the risen Christ, who is the Lord of new beginnings. It's about a guy who failed and failed and failed again, 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 and the Lord just kept saying, "Do over." Early in the morning, Peter and his friends have been fishing all night, caught zip. A figure calls to them from the shore, a voice they had heard before, but in these wee hours did not recognize. "Children, you haven't caught any fish, have you?" That's the Greek in literal. "Children, you haven't caught any fish, have you?" Hear the way that question is asked. Little sting to it. Designed to see if they will acknowledge the reality of their life at that moment, namely, failure. Jesus often uses casual statements or questions to see if folks will acknowledge the truth about themselves. You remember some of those. "What were you talking about on the way?" he said to the disciples when they were arguing. Remember that? About who's the greatest. "Where is your husband?" he asked the woman married a lot of times. "How's it been going?" he asked here. "Catch anything, guys? Any luck?" A remarkable thing happens. Fishermen, you know, are notorious for fish stories. But here you got a bunch of fishermen, they haven't caught anything. They don't even comment on the one that got away. "No," is all they say. So the story starts with the admission of failure, and that's all the voice on the shore is waiting to hear. The voice said, "Try again. Put your net down on the right side of the boat. Don't give up yet. One more try, guys." They do, and soon the net's so full they can't begin to lift it back into the boat with the heavy weight of that strain burning deep within their muscles. Something else begins burning deeply within them. They realize to whom the voice belongs. You heard it. Peter is filled with emotion, no doubt remembering a time just like this before in his life when it was the same kind of empty, fishless night, but a surprisingly miraculous net-filled morning. That very first time, Peter said to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Broken, ragged people pray that sometimes, you know." But Jesus says, "I know all about your being a broken, sinful man, and I've got plans to take care of that once and for all. So, Peter, I'm giving you a do-over." No, Peter, I'm doing one better than that. I'm giving you a new beginning, a new life. Starting now, you're going to be fishing, but for people. So here it is now, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, after another fishing miracle, Peter realized to whom this voice belongs. He hears it from that beloved disciple. Well, he grabs his blue jeans and his lucky but smelly fishing shirt, and he jumps in the water and heads for shore. And there, of all things, along with his brother fisherman, he finds the risen Jesus fixing breakfast. Jesus had started, did you hear that? Peter did. Jesus had started a charcoal fire. The Greek is a fire of burning coals. John gets that detail, not just any kind of fire, but a charcoal fire. The same detail that John got down into print when he described the fire in front of which Peter was warming himself when he denied his Lord. Now, can you imagine what is going through Peter's mind and heart? I mean, another fishing miracle, another charcoal fire. Can you imagine Peter's eyes meeting Jesus' eyes? And Peter knows that if he's going to be with Jesus, he's going to have to face the truth about himself and what he has done. He's going to have to take off his mask. He's going to have to face up to reality. He's going to have to hit the truth head on. There's an old story about a guy desperate for a job. He responds to a want ad at the local zoo. The zoo supervisor explained that the gorilla in their exhibit had died, but they couldn't right then afford a new one, so they would pay this guy to dress up like one. He balks at first, but needing the money badly, he finally agrees to put on the gorilla suit. Each day, though, he gets a little more enthusiastic in his exhibit area, and one day he actually swings on a rope, but he misjudges the distance and lands in the exhibit next to his, the lion's exhibit. Feeling the lion's hot breath on his face, he forgets his disguise. He begins to scream for help, at which point the lion says, "Shut up, will ya? Or we'll both lose our jobs." Wearing masks can become a way of life. Pretending to be happy when you are breaking apart inside. Pretending to be okay when you are really so lonely you could cry. Pretending to be positive, everything blooming in roses, when deep down inside you are eaten up with worry and you are almost paralyzed by fear. Pretending to have a strong, upfront, courageous faith when in your heart you know how very often you have doubted the Lord, His Word. How very often you have denied the very life that He gives wearing masks. Peter is so vulnerable as he remembers. He remembers when he stood by the fire and failed his Lord. So Peter waits for Jesus' words like a prisoner waiting to hear the verdict of the court. But he hears the question that would wound him to the heart, but the very question that would heal his heart and bring him back to life. Do you love me? Do Jesus is the vulnerable one. He is the lover waiting to hear the response of the one he so dearly and deeply loves, three times asked. Following lockstep, the three-time denial, three times being healed by the Lord of new beginnings. The risen Lord says to Peter and to everyone who has ever stood by the fire and failed God, Jesus says to you and to me, whatever we have done or failed to do, get back at it, he says. Be the child I have called you to be. Feed my sheep. You see, the Lord is totally and faithfully committed in his love for us, even and especially when our love for him fails and fails miserably. His total and faithful commitment to us is not only in what he says, but in what he does. He bears on the cross our betrayals, our denials, our flimsy excuses, our sins. The cross of Jesus is God's declaration of all-out love for you, for sinners, his insatiable appetite to redeem. No doubt Peter was ready to quit, to resign, to slink off the loser he looked to be. But Jesus wants no resignations. Rather, he wants redemption. He wants new beginnings for broken people like us. For that, Jesus will lay down his life. I read an account years ago about a promising junior executive at IBM. He was involved in a risky venture for his company, and he ended up losing millions of dollars, and he was called into the office of his boss, Tom Watson Sr., founder and leader of IBM for over 40 years. This junior executive, overwhelmed with guilt and fear and failure, blurted out, "Sir, I know you have called me in here for my resignation, so here it is. Sir, I resign. I am sorry for my failure." And to that, Watson replied, "You got to be joking. I've invested thousands of dollars and hours educating you and bringing you along. I can't afford your resignation. I want you to get this behind you and get going again." I imagine Peter, along with all of us, have heard more than once, we have had more than once our resignation in hand. I sure have. But Jesus will not have it. He has invested his very life, redeeming and loving and leading us day by day. He calls us to love him. And that very call is the rock-solid, always healing reminder that his love for us is unfailing, no matter what. Every morning, his mercies to us are new, and that means that every day is a new beginning. That is because as far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The old order of things has passed away. When the stone was rolled away, and Jesus came forth alive. Well, wouldn't you know it? It's another day of new beginnings. In the name of Jesus. Amen.